Jennifer Rubin applies her reporting expertise to, well, the biggest political stage there is, Washington, D.C., where they should have had the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
She covers the scene there in Washington for Commentary Magazine, and you can find her at their website, Commentary Magazine, and then you just type in Jennifer Rubin, R-U-B-I-N. Is the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth still going on among the Democrats over Senator Evan Bayh bailing out on them?
Oh, yes. And you see, it's not really the Democrats' fault. This is the spin that they have come up with. It is either the existence of the filibuster, or perhaps it's the Republicans' fault, or maybe it's just that our government is unfunctional, dysfunctional. They fail to see, even when all the evidence, three big elections in a row, Evan Bayh leaving the party, that they have lurched too far to the left, and this is their downfall. So they come up with excuse after excuse for each one of these incidents, never fully coming to terms with the fact that their own policy choices and their own ineptitude are responsible. And when you complain about gridlock, and when you complain that government is dysfunctional or the country is ungovernable, that's sort of a hard argument to make when you're in charge of everything. It's basically saying, we're incompetent. We can't figure this out. It's too hard. Well, maybe it is too hard for them. Maybe we should get new people in there. Or, alternatively, some of us think that gridlock is not a bad state of things. After all, the Founding Fathers set up a system that it was really hard to get through big legislation really, really fast, in part because they didn't want us marching off the cliff to tyranny. And maybe that's a good thing right now. But, yes, the mainstream media is doing the tango with Evan Bayh. They are in the midst of their love affair because they can get Evan Bayh to diss the Republicans and talk about how bad things are amorphously. But I think conservatives have pretty much figured out, number one, they can get that seat, and number two, this is what's going to happen to the Democratic Party. They're getting pushed farther and farther to the left, and that's going to work not so well in many states.
I'm looking here at the Commentary Magazine website, and your latest entry suggests that perhaps Senator, soon-to-be former Senator Evan Bayh, is being accorded a status of heroism that maybe isn't really justified. What about it?
Well, you have to remember that Evan Bayh has played this game for decades now, where he's talked a game of fiscal responsibility and sobriety, and he comes out and kind of scratches his head, and he sounds woeful about all the spending that's going on in Washington, and then he votes for every liberal measure that comes along. He voted for Obamacare. He voted for the 2009 budget. This guy really has played this game for many, many years and gotten away with it because he's figured out, I think, how to manipulate the media, and because no one has really pinned him down on it. And I think this year it became very difficult for him. Remember, his father, Birch Bayh, lost in a landslide sweep year 1980 to none other than Dan Quayle because he too was out of step with his state. Indiana is not a very liberal place. And Evan Bayh has been a pretty dutiful soldier in the Obama revolution. And I think reality finally hit. He was in danger of losing his seat. And he finally hung it up. And he tried to do it, frankly, in the most partisan fashion possible, resigning or announcing that he would be leaving the Senate on the day before the filing date allows the Democrats to pick their candidate, avoid a primary, and come up with their best polled, best selected candidate to run against whoever the Republicans come up with. So I think this guy gets a lot of credit that is frankly not very well deserved.
Judging from the number of Democrats in Congress, both houses, who are in effect bailing out, some obviously have learned something from this the whole experience of lost elections. But has the core group, the people who really run the Democratic Party, do you think they've learned anything?
No. I think they are trying to figure out how to better package this, how to better spin this, how to trap the other side. That's what this healthcare summit is all about, how to make the other guys look bad. They're not fundamentally changing their approach, which is spend gobs and gobs of money and continue this approach that's very statist, very government-oriented. Obama was out there selling the stimulus package again yesterday. They have learned nothing. And apparently, in this budget that he's put forth for the 2010, 2011, 2011 fiscal year. He's really doubling down on all the spending. It's horrendous. So I don't think, despite all of the elections they've lost, despite the polling they get it, and you wonder how they delude themselves, what information they provide to themselves to convince them that this is fine and they can keep on track. Maybe they are looking to thin the herd, as it were, get rid of some of those conservative and moderate Democrats they have, so only the true believers are left. Maybe that's the scheme. I don't know. But it really does not seem, at least from my perspective, that these people have internalized that they really aren't making any changes.
You look at the track record of Obama's support. He campaigned for the Democrat for governor in Virginia, Democrat lost. Campaigned for the Democrat for governor in New Jersey, Democrat lost. Campaigned for the Democrat to replace Ted Kennedy in the Senate from Massachusetts, Democrat lost. I see in the news that the guy, the Democrat who's going to be running for Senator Chris Dodd's seat in Connecticut, because Dodd figured out, you know, he's got no chance anyway. This guy has pretty open, I forget his name, but he's pretty openly said he's not interested in having Obama come there and campaign for him. Is there a lot of that going around?
Work well in. He hasn't been effective in any of these states. He's certainly not going to go help Blanche Lincoln in Arkansas. She's down 20 points. Where's he going to go? To Colorado? That guy's already down 14 points for voting with Obama. It's very hard to figure out where he can be taken out in public. Now, that's not to say that he is still not a rock star to the far left, and I'm sure behind closed doors in San Francisco and other places, just to pick a city, that he's going to raise a lot of money and get the donors all hopped up and so on. But I don't think you're going to see him in a lot of these swing states. And I think, frankly, the Democrats are going to have to figure out, in order to save their skins, how to put some distance between themselves and Obama. They're going to have to point to some votes. They're going to have to try some votes between now and November to show that they have some independence, because I think the voters are going to say, why should we send you back there? You're just going to enable this guy to spend more money. And that's the fundamental problem they have. They voted with him lock, stock, and barrel for a year now, and it's an agenda that is completely unacceptable to the American people. Now they're trapped.
You circulate in Washington, of course, and I just wonder if you hear or even hear hints of any Democrats there in Washington with the audacity to even whisper that maybe their guy just isn't up to handling the big job.
Yeah.
Is anybody even whispering that?
Oh, I think they're not only whispering it, they're beginning to talk about it out loud. I think there is a grave unsettling on the left that, oh my gosh, we had it all. We had both houses of Congress. We had the president. His popularity was sky high. And we've got nothing. He hasn't been able to do anything. And you do see this in the lefty blogs, which I'm required to read as part of my job function. And you see it on the talk shows, and you see it on the Sunday shows, that there is this sense on the left that they were sold a bill of goods too. They thought this guy was a rock star, that he actually knew how to do something. But you have to remember, they took a flyer on this guy just like the rest of the country did. They banked on somebody whose only executive experience was running the Harvard Law Review. What experience does that provide you for running the country? He had never held an executive position in the Senate. He was a backbencher and wasn't there very long to do anything anyway. This guy has never done anything. And I think there's a frustration level. You see it in people writing advice columns to him. Please do something. Please fire these people. Please actually propose your own legislation. That he is essentially simply a campaigner, that he's a speechmaker, he's a campaigner, he talks in these frothy kind of phrases that don't amount to very much, but that's not what being president really is about. It's about getting stuff done. And you see their frustration on, even on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They expected he was actually going to change that. Well, he's just sending it to a commission and he'll look at it and he's not really going to do anything. You see it on health care. He wasn't able to get their health care dream of decades in duration through. So I think they're frustrated with him. The interesting question, I think, is, are they going to be so frustrated in another year or so that you might see a primary challenge? That was the dilemma of Jimmy Carter. He was such an incompetent, such a boob, that the Democrats at that point put up Ted Kennedy. Is there someone that's going to run him from the left? Or some people have been speculating that that's what this Evan Bayh thing is all about, that he's going to run against him from the other side. And then, of course, there's Hillary Clinton just doing her job, working hard, being a loyal soldier, working hard. So, she's in the background, too. So we'll see how bad things get. And the circular firing squad is assembling as we speak, and I suspect there's going to be much, much more complaining as time goes on and as his poll numbers go even lower than they are right now.
Speaking of Senator Bai of Indiana. He is on the record stating he absolutely would not challenge Barack Obama for the 2012 Democrat nomination. When I hear some politicians say, absolutely no chance, I'm reminded of the old adage that you can tell about a politician if his lips are moving, he's lying.
Yes.
I think he's lying, do you?
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, if it's changed, he meant it at the time. You know, Bill Clinton said, well, I meant it at the time, now I mean something different. So things change. There's a groundswell of support for Evan Bai. They're carrying him out on their shoulders. He had to say yes. He had to change his mind. The grassroots movement in front of Evan Bai is, in favor of Evan Bai, is building as we speak, I'm sure.
So, yeah, well, he's going on The View, I think, next week.
See? He's becoming
Why would you do that?
Exactly. Well, I think he is lapping up the attention like, you know, nothing he has ever gotten before. You know, frankly, most people in America didn't know who Evan Bai was. People who do this for a living know who he is. But he's never gotten this much attention, this much fawning in his life. So I think you're exactly right. That's the type of thing you do so that he becomes, now he becomes an outsider. Now he becomes a sage adult, someone who critiques the system, who has experience, but now is outside the system. You can sort of hear the whole mumbo jumbo of campaign ease beginning to form. So I think that's exactly right. I think he's trying to figure out where his next play is.
I can almost hear his announcement that he's changed his mind and is going to run.
Well,
it'll go like this. I've decided I need to spend more time away from my family.
Yes, exactly.
Just on down-to-earth political matters for right now, there's still some things to worry about. Are there the 50 votes necessary to shove through the Senate some form of health care bill by using that so-called reconciliation gimmick?
I don't think there is. And there may not even be 50 votes in favor of the substance of what they want to do. The reconciliation process is this goofy parliamentary system where you can avoid the entire filibuster and the 60-vote requirement. There's a lot of mechanics to doing that. You're not supposed to do things that aren't, strictly speaking, spending items. So certain things would have to come out. You'd have to break up the bill. You'd have to get through some parliamentary tricks and some parliamentary rulings. But there are a lot of moderate and conservative Democrats who have, even before this all imploded, said they wouldn't want to use reconciliation. And certainly now there are people who are goosey about this. You think Blanche Lincoln is going to go for this stuff? She's already on thin ice. So I don't think there are enough votes to push this through. I don't think they have a bill that they can get behind. And you see it right now in the planning and the run-up to this health care summit. Obama doesn't even know whether he's going to have his own bill. He still wants the old bill. He doesn't know what he's going to do after the summit. I don't think they really have a game plan, to be honest. And I think part of what's going on is they find it impossible to let down their base, to deliver the bad news. We're sorry, the patient has died. Obamacare is going nowhere. So they perpetuate this thing, and they have events, and they keep talking about it, and we hear leaks and rumors about the process just to keep their base from going bananas, which they will at the point at which they declare, we can't do this. So I think that's a lot of what's going on.
We'll be right back with Jennifer Rubin of Commentary Magazine. Just go to their website, Commentary Magazine, and write in Jennifer Rubin, and there she is. It's Hot Talk 560 KSFO. 722, what's new on the roads, OV?
Well, this one is brought to you by New York Life Insurance Company. And we're going to start in Burlingame, El Camino Real, southbound between Fairfield Road and Bellevue Avenue. It's reduced to one lane through February 22nd, coincidentally the day that Evan Bai is going to be on The View. Southbound traffic's going to use...
Be still my heart.
Yes. Northbound left lane and northbound traffic will have the right lane only in that area. So it's pretty intuitive. It's El Camino Real, southbound between Fairfield and Bellevue, Burlingame area. All right, now, other stuff. We're looking at Walnut Creek Treat Boulevard at Jones. Look out for turkeys in the roadway. About 7 or 8 turkeys just wandering around. There we go. Escaping early from Thanksgiving this year. And what else we got? It's a muni problem out there. San Jose Avenue at Highland. An accident involving a J. Church light rail vehicle and F. Market streetcar. So that's going on. Now, New York Life, the only choice to help guarantee what most important to you, protecting your family. To learn more, visit NewYorkLife.com. Officer Vic, Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
You're listening to Lee Rogers on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Jennifer,
Jennifer Rubin of Commentary Magazine, East Washington reporter, spending a few minutes with us this morning. Is it too late for the Obamster to rein in the wild-eyed lefties who've been at least partly responsible for the train wreck his presidency has become? And I'm referring first and foremost to Reid and Pelosi, of course. Are they just permanently out of control?
I think they are, and I think it is an open question whether he really objects to the course that they've taken. The two schools of thought. One is that he's sort of inept and not very active and doesn't really understand or appreciate the legislative process, and he made the mistake in delegating so much of this to them. They've then taken the party and the whole country off the cliff. The other theory is that he's more than happy to let them do this, that this is really what he wants. He is a lefty. He doesn't disagree with anything they're doing. And sure, he's not sort of a roll-up-your-sleeves kind of guy, but nothing that they're doing is anything that from a ideological standpoint that he objects to. So he's more than happy to let them do it. And it is quite possible, after all, that these people will give it the shot. They will run themselves right out of office. Harry Reid is most likely to get booted out, and Nancy Pelosi, as you know, will be there for forever. But she could very well lose her majority. And that he'll come back, and all these people will be then washed out to sea. And we'll have a similar situation that we had in 1994. And then the question is going to be, does he have the flexibility and the capability to do something else, to move towards the center and to actually be successful? I think he's no Bill Clinton, and I say this with a certain amount of fondness for Bill Clinton at this point. This is what we've been reduced to, by the way.
All he cared about was getting reelected, and he did.
And getting girls.
And get the babes, yeah.
Exactly. What a great country. In fact, he's from Arkansas, goes to Washington, gets girls, you know, gets reelected. What could be better? He loved America just the way it was. He was not interested in a revolution. This guy is, Obama is interested, I think, in a revolution. So I don't think that he necessarily has the street smarts or the flexibility or even the wherewithal, I think, to do what Bill Clinton did, which was say, okay, forget it. That stuff didn't work. I'll do something else. I just want to be popular. I don't really care about all the lefty stuff anyway. Let's go past welfare reform. Let's go past free trade. I'll be a successful president and said, that's okay too. I don't know that Barack Obama has that in him. And when you see him musing out loud that maybe a one term would be just as good, I could live with one term, you kind of wonder maybe this isn't what he was cracked up to be. Maybe all he wanted to do was win the presidency. And being the presidency, as he said about the Middle East, it's hard. Mm-hmm. So it's too hard. So maybe if it's too hard, he'll have
Four years of going around the world sightseeing on Air Force One. Maybe mm-hmm. that'd be enough.
Yes. Well, you know, all that bowing is very tiring. A private citizen, he could stand erect again, so maybe it would be better.
Well, Bill Clinton did too, but never mind. Since you dropped the name, I'm sure Sarah Palin was relieved that Hillary Clinton answered no to the question as to whether she would leave the country and move to Canada if Governor Palin got elected president of the United States. I wonder if she might leave the country if Obama got reelected. I'm just thinking out loud here. But doesn't that relationship, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, have to just come apart at the seams at some point?
It does. It's like those relationships you saw in college. What does he see in her? What does she see in him? How are they even together? What's going on behind closed doors? How is this even working in the short run? So I think it is just a matter of time before that pair break up. And you got to see from her perspective, even though she's done a rather abominable job as Secretary of State, they can't point to a single achievement. I think most people would concede she's not really running things anyway, so I doubt she's going to be blamed with that. Her own personal popularity ratings are higher than they used to be because at least she's not out screeching about this thing or that thing on the campaign trail. So I don't see what benefit this is for her to stay in and continue to be his Secretary of State in a floundering administration. So I suspect in whether it's months or a year, she'll have paid her dues, she'll move on to other things, she'll look around for some other platform, either some type of private organization or a governorship, an open Senate seat. She's been in New York. She could try many other states, of course, and return to the public limelight. She, of course, forswears any interest in the presidency, but the Clintons will always be interested in the presidency, I think.
She won't resign and say she's going to spend more time with her family.
No. Even right, she, I think, yes. There's limits to how far they will stretch their credulity, yes.
Well, for the reasons that you just pointed out regarding Hillary, starting with that, you know, incessant screeching, nagging of hers, and the increasingly obvious fact that Obama has bungled the job. I think, again, you're making the argument for Evan Bayh to kind of pull out of the political game for a couple of years, make speeches, and take a detached view of what's going on, and then come back in, as did Ronald Reagan once upon a time, and say, well, the country needs me. I don't find that implausible, do you?
I don't at all. I think it's a very understandable sort of analysis. And if you recall, when he made his little goodbye speech, he said something to the effect that I've always been an executive. It was an odd comment to make at the time that he was leaving the Senate. Ha! Huh, what do he have in mind? Always been an executive. Now, there is the potential that he could come back and run for the governorship in his home state of Indiana after Mitch Daniels leaves.
He's done that twice.
He's done it twice. Why does he need to do that again? So it was a very telling comment. I suspect that he does have aspirations from birth. Everyone always thought he was the fair-haired kid of the Democratic Party, and he's never quite clicked. Maybe the best break he ever got was not being selected as Obama's vice president, and was spared having to go into that administration. And now, you're right, he spends a couple of years, he makes some speeches, he's not responsible for the debacle. He says, oh, I tried to set them straight, I tried to reform things, I can only do that now from the White House. And he comes back in a couple of years, and we'll see how far he gets.
I picked this up from your column there in Commentary Magazine, the California story about Tom Campbell, who, when he was Congressman Tom Campbell, says here, got $1,300 in campaign donations from Sami Al-Aryan, who later pleaded guilty to conspiring to help associates of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. And Campbell also revealed that not only had Al-Aryan donated money to his campaign, but that he, Campbell, visited Al-Aryan's brother-in-law in prison, the brother-in-law associated with Islamic Jihad.
Exactly. And he also wrote a letter on behalf of this individual when he was fired from a Florida university, saying that he was defending his academic freedom and going to bat for him. It is really a remarkable turn of event. I would encourage your listeners to read through all the details and to see the connection. This was also an individual, Tom Campbell, who went to the opening of the CARE offices, the professional complainers about discrimination against Muslim, in order to celebrate the opening of their new event, their opening of their new offices in Washington. So he is very cozy with these people. He has accepted money, and he has taken some positions that are frankly very odd. So I would encourage your California voters to read up about him. There's also some good information over at American Spectator. Phil Klein has also been doing some reporting at AmericanSpectator.com, which I would commend your listeners to.
Yeah, I have talked to Tom many times over the years on the air, and somehow he never saw fit to mention
of this. You should invite him back. Yeah. Ask him.
Yeah. Oh. Entirely possible that that will happen, yes. If you want to get Jennifer Rubin's reporting on it, again, she's in Commentary Magazine on the web, Commentary Magazine, and then just type in Jennifer with a J, Rubin, R-U-B-I-N. Thank you. How are you getting along through the snow in Washington, or is the melting pretty well underway?
We are beginning to melt. We were very fortunate. We kept our power, and the kids are finally back in school. Yay!
Yes.
So, we have survived. We have survived. No one's going to call us snow wimps after this, I'll tell you that.
Should have had the Olympics there. I'm telling you.
I agree. I could, those polar bears who need some ice floes, they can come into my backyard. I still got 2 or 3 feet back there.
Sure, and then go into Congress and have lunch. I didn't say not in the dining room. It's Jennifer Rubin. Thank you, thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Looking forward to it. Take care.
It's Hot Talk 560 KSFO. 7:36, and Big Buck checks in now from the Wall Street Journal. What about it, Bucky? How's the market doing?
Well, it's kind of meandering, we'll say that. The Dow up 12 at 10,320. NASDAQ down 1. S&P down about 1. Crude oil heading higher, up about 2/3 of a percent at 77.84 a barrel. and the yield on the 10-year Treasury note 3.753%, a gauge of the U.S. economy's prospects 3 to 6 months down the road, rose for the 10th month in January. The Conference Board said its index of leading economic indicators rose 0.3%. However, stocks not reacting to all of that. Hewlett-Packard's quarterly profit jumped 25% thanks to a surge in computer sales. Results beat Wall Street estimates. Stock in HP, part of the Dow average, up 1%. And the Wall Street Journal says European and Chinese hackers broke into more than 2,400 computers and companies and government agencies over the past year and a half. They may have accessed credit card transactions, intellectual property, email, databases, all that kind of stuff. The actual damage from the cyber attacks still being assessed.
I know, but I was one of those people.
You were hacked into?
Who got zapped?
Well, a store's database got hacked into.
Well, okay.
And I was informed by my credit card company that they've got your credit card, so we're going to reissue a new number and everything. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, happens. Happens a lot, actually, more than you might think. And so got these Chinese and European hackers going to town.
Once again, you've bought a Mercedes in Nice, France.
Right, exactly. And wondering how it never does it drive, because you haven't been in it. Once again, the Dow up 12, NASDAQ down 1, S&P, well, right now, flat. I'm Buck McQuillan at the Wall Street Journal on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
You're listening to Lee Rogers on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Answering such vital questions as how do you heal an injury with cheese?
Mm-hmm.
We were wondering out loud about this earlier, OV. We have the story. Lindsey Vonn, the gold medal American skier, the lovely Lindsey Vonn. She won her gold first gold yesterday, and she had been suffering with a serious shin injury, yet she treated it with cheese. And we have a report on that from ABC's Alex Stone up there in Vancouver.
She went the unconventional route to heal her injured shin, putting cheese curd on it, but it worked. Lindsey Vonn has a lot more skiing to do here in the next week, but she's taking a moment to enjoy the gold.
So much relief, you know, knowing that I've finally done it after working my entire life, essentially, to get here.
Vonn says her success came from repeated days off the mountain because of bad weather, which gave her shin time to heal. Alex Stone, ABC News, Vancouver.
Cheese curds.
Cottage cheese?
I don't know. We have no explanation beyond that. But it's a start. Well, I used to live in Chicago, and I'd go up to Wisconsin and buy bags of cheese curds. Delicious snacks. Probably, you know, clogged arteries permanently. But we're a step closer to having the answer to the mystery.
Yeah.
Cheese curds to heal injuries.
She used her curds and got her way.
Very good, very good. Scott Rasmussen of Rasmussen Poll is going to be with us after the 8 o'clock news, looking at a couple more tidbits here from Rasmussen. Just now, this is an indicator that frequently is a predictor of how elections are going to turn out. It's never good news for incumbents when most people believe that the country is headed off in the wrong direction. Only 28% of American voters now say the country is headed in the right direction, the lowest level of voter confidence since a year ago, and it appears to signal the end of a slight burst of confidence in the first part of this year. The majority of voters, 65%, believe the nation is heading down the wrong track, and that figure has held about steady since mid-November. The Obamaists have made a botch of it. The public is getting on to them. And then, also from Rasmussen, and we'll talk about this and other matters with Mr. Rasmussen when he joins us in a half hour or less, most Americans are in favor of a law that would limit the amount of taxes paid to state, local, and federal governments so that nobody would pay more than 50% of their total income in taxes. That's state, federal, local, okay? 61% of adults nationwide favor such a limit. 19%, a bunch of leeches, freeloaders, and leftists are opposed. I threw that description in on my own as a comment there. And another 19% aren't sure if they're for or against a limit, or probably not even sure what their names are. But anyhow, that's in general how public opinion is running on that subject. Tiger Woods is going to be back to face the media tomorrow for the first time since the big scandal broke, but it's going to be a one-way conversation. No questions.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Gutman is going to be there. I don't know what he hopes to learn, but
Tiger
anyway.
Tiger Woods will read a short statement that his agent said will try to make amends to his wife and his fans. Sports columnist Christine Brennan said the event will also be about getting Tiger Woods back to golf.
This is going to be a big deal in terms of how he starts to lay out the groundwork for his comeback.
But she also called the heavily stage-managed event, in which Woods will not answer questions, a dog and pony show. Matt Gutman, ABC News.
The dog and tiger show.
Yeah. We're talking about Lindsay and how she was treating her injured shin with cheese curds. You know, she's the poster girl for the Olympics this time around. She is killer gorgeous. And she won her gold yesterday.
The woman who's been battling her injured shin takes gold.
I have faced a lot of challenges in the past.
Lindsay Vonn with a time of 1:44.19 down the course. She spent the past week resting her shin, making sure she was ready to compete today.
It's hard to focus on just being prepared for these Olympics when you have such a big injury like this.
Silver in women's downhill also goes to an American, Julia Mancuso from California. Alex Stone, ABC News, Vancouver.
Yeah, and I think they're on the slopes again today, I believe, unless, you know, they have a hurricane or tornado or something in Vancouver. They've had just about everything else happen to the games there. It's just tragic. Let me see here. Speaking of the Olympics, authorities say a suspicious individual was able to get within 12 rows of Vice President Joe Biden at the opening ceremony of the games in Vancouver, and Alex is on that story.
Police here now say a man wearing a fake pass to the opening ceremony was arrested after he tried to get close to Vice President Joe Biden. Police telling us Biden was never in any danger and no charges have been filed. The man is suspected to have mental health problems. Alex Stone, ABC News,
which
Vancouver.
He wanted to hang out with Joe Biden? Yeah, he absolutely has mental health problems. Hey, dude, just don't pull on his hair. Those plugs will come out in gigantic clumps. You don't want that. More headaches for Toyota. The federal government is now investigating the Corolla for possible steering problems. I think this is a hatchet job by the owners of government motors. That's what I think.
The Department of Transportation will now open an investigation into possible steering problems with the 2009-2010 Toyota Corolla. The government has received more than 160 complaints. Toyota itself has acknowledged that drivers have complained about the power steering, but the company has not yet decided whether to order a recall. The government investigation will cover as many as 500,000 Corollas. It will examine the steering issues to determine whether they pose a safety problem. Lisa Stark, ABC News, Washington.
You're waking up with Lee Rogers on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
It's 8 minutes before 8 o'clock in the Bay Area. Weather is, partly cloudy today. Look out for patches of dense morning fog that will be dissipating with the passage of time. Highs today in the 60s. Tomorrow, showers likely and a little cooler. Looks dampish going into the weekend. And what else do we have for the folks out on the roads, OV?
Your Bay Area BMW Centers bring you this. It is Burlingame, El Camino Real, southbound between Fairfield Road and Bellevue Avenue. It's reduced to one lane through Monday, and southbound traffic is going to use the northbound left lane. Northbound traffic have the right lane only, so that's what you've got out there in Burlingame. Alamo, 680 southbound before Stone Valley. We've got a couple of cars moved to the center divider after an accident. Another wreck in Fremont, Alvarado Boulevard. Eastbound at Deep Creek Road, And one more. This is San Leandro, 880 northbound after Marina, with three vehicles clunking into one another. Now, through March 31st, get 0.9% financing on select certified pre-owned BMWs. Visit your local Bay Area BMW center today or go to socalbmw.com/CPO for details. OV here, Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
You're listening to Lee Rogers on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Quick survey of my colleagues here. Dog people or cat people? OV, you're a dog person.
Dog person.
Dog. Mm-hmm. You have what, two?
Two dogs, Boomer mm-hmm. and Reggie.
Sherry, dog person.
Uh-huh.
Two dogs. Big John dates that. No, never mind. Dick Buck, I'm sorry. I've had both. I had the world's meanest tomcat. I loved him.
Really?
George, uh-huh. who lived to be almost 20 years old.
My goodness.
But I loved him. And now I love my dog, Calvin,
mm-hmm.
who's a cockapoo and just the best dog in the world. There are dog people. There are cat people. And Cindy Adams' column today illustrates how they differ. If you want someone who eats what's put in front of him and never says it's not as good as his mother's cooking, get a dog.
Mm-hmm.
You want someone who will go out at any hour and for as long as you like, get a dog. If you want someone who never criticizes, doesn't care if you're fat or ugly, and loves you unconditionally, perpetually, get a dog.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if you want someone who never comes when you call, ignores you when you come home, leaves hair everywhere, walks all over you, and acts like your entire existence is to make sure of his happiness, then you get a cat.
It requires different
temperaments. We're going to hear from El Rushbo in just a minute or so. And in a few minutes, Scott Rasmussen, the man whose name is on the Rasmussen poll, joins us.
Central Falls High School in Rhode Island, a bottom-tier performer. 50% of the students are failing all of their classes. Only 7% of its 11th graders are proficient in math. Less than half of them graduate. So last month, the Education Commissioner ordered the district to improve graduation rates and test scores. Plan A, transform the school by adding 25 minutes of class time every day. Additionally, teachers would face more rigorous evaluations, attend after-school planning meetings, tutor the students more, in other words, teach them, and complete 2 weeks of training during summer months. If Plan A wasn't implemented, there was a Plan B. The entire school staff would be canned. Well, enter the Central Falls Teachers Union, rejecting the conditions laid out in Plan A to transform the school's performance, especially since extra pay was not on the table. The union told a school district to flake off. So the superintendent is going with Plan B. Soon, all 74 Central Falls Haskell teachers will be given termination notices. The union is vowing to fight the terminations, but parents are unsympathetic, especially given the average teacher's salary, $72,000 to $78,000 a year in a town where the median income is $22,000. Parents are also blaming the kids for being lazy. As for the lazy kids, they're dumbfounded by all this. See, in normal life, this happens every day. Underperformers are challenged to produce or shown the door, and they don't demand pay raises to shape up. Something remarkable has happened in Central Falls, Rhode Island. It's called accountability. It is long overdue.
Rush is coming up at 9 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO. You're listening to Hot Talk 560 KSFO. San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies.